University of Colorado.
Thank you for joining us for CU on the Air, the University of Colorado's official podcast. At CU on the Air, we talk to our outstanding faculty about their life-changing research and how it benefits our state, nation, and world. I'm your host, Ken McConnellogue. We're pleased to be able to bring you the best of all four CU campuses on CU on the Air. We're talking today with Dr. Huntington Potter, professor and director at the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center at the CU Anschutz Medical Campus. Dr. Potter, thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to such an important area of research?
Well, Alzheimer's disease is probably the most important neurological problem that we face today, and it's getting worse. When I joined the neuroscience department at Harvard Medical School, I decided to work on something that was both genetic and biochemical and important, and that was Alzheimer's disease.
The Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center has been up and running for about 5 years now. What are some of the highlights of the research and treatment in that time?
Well, the main highlights are that we've hired a number of new scientists into the laboratory and a number of new clinicians into the medical clinic for memory disorders. And that has allowed us to not only raise the number of patients that we see each year from about 200 to, somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500. That's been a tremendous advance and a service to the community. And we've also increased the number of researchers in the laboratory working to try to develop new treatments.
Alzheimer's disease, I think, is getting a higher profile, but it doesn't have as high a profile as, say, cancer or heart disease. Do you think people are beginning to understand the impact and implications of Alzheimer's?
Yes, they are. And part of the reason for that is that people are realizing in their own families and friends that we're all living longer and healthier lives. Cancer is not cured, but it's manageable in many cases. Heart disease is beginning to go down. And Alzheimer's disease is the only major disease, except for diabetes and obesity, that is increasing and without any good solutions. So that has become a problem that people are more aware of than they were, say, 10 or 20 years ago when I first started working on Alzheimer's disease. And that's very gratifying because that means that not only does the work on Alzheimer's disease attract philanthropic dollars and support, but it also attracts government support, and that's essential.
Your work is incredibly important for a lot of reasons, and the demographics are very clear that it's something we need to address, certainly as a society. Do you feel a weight of responsibility in your work?
Yes. Every time that we are looking at something new in the lab, we get excited that this might be a new direction that we should take. We certainly feel that Alzheimer's disease is a very important problem to solve. If all of us live to be 85, almost half of us will have Alzheimer's disease. The current cost to the economy is about $230 billion a year in care and treatment of people with Alzheimer's disease. And the expectation is that that will rise to about $1 trillion a year by 2050 in Medicare and Medicaid expenses alone. We can't afford that, either emotionally or financially. So we really have to solve this problem. It's a collaborative effort all across the world, different scientists, and it's a collaboration with our caregivers, our subjects who volunteer for the trials, and for our donors as well.
You said that one of your goals is to be the premier research and care center in the United States within 5 years. What does it take to get there?
Well, the largest impediment is lack of funding, and that's faced by researchers and clinicians all over the country. Alzheimer's disease is being recognized both at the state level with state funding for our center and also at the national level, but it's a bigger problem than even the current increase in funding can solve.
Your long-term goal is to be the premier research and care center in the country. What's your short-term goal for the center?
Well, to be the premier research and care center for Alzheimer's disease in the West.
And the center's mission is really to discover diagnostics, preventions, treatments, and cures for Alzheimer's disease. That's a tall order. Is any one of those more important in the short term?
Well, we think in terms of studying Alzheimer's disease and trying to develop these interventions over a long period of time. So we have some drugs that are being developed in the laboratory now that will be tested soon in the mice, and the best ones will move into the clinic. But we already have one in the clinic that we developed in the laboratory, and that's being tested now in a clinical trial that lasts about 3 weeks, mostly for testing safety, but also looking at efficacy. And then we've just gotten a large grant of $1 million from the Alzheimer's Association to extend that study into a six-month efficacy study. That's for a drug called Leukine.
It seems, given the prevalence and severity of this disease, that those kind of collaborations with other areas would help speed along your work. How have those collaborations helped you?
Well, one of the interesting ones is that we looked in the literature and discovered that people with rheumatoid arthritis had been found to be very protected from developing Alzheimer's disease. The people who discovered that suggested that the main reason was that people with rheumatoid arthritis take a lot of anti-pain medication, anti-inflammation medication, and that we knew that inflammation was important in the Alzheimer's disease brain. So maybe there was a coincidental benefit. But when a large clinical trial was started looking at anti-inflammatory drugs in people with Alzheimer's disease, it totally failed. So we took a slightly different approach, which was perhaps people with rheumatoid arthritis were inherently protected. We wanted to find out why, and we started investigating what was different about them from typical people, and we focused on a protein called GM-CSF, which is upregulated in the blood of people with rheumatoid arthritis. When we tested it, to make a long story short, with mice with Alzheimer's disease, then the mice got better. And that was a striking effect. And since the drug is a human drug, we're now in clinical trials.
You talked about the Leukine clinical trials, and they've shown promise, and you've gotten support from the Alzheimer's Association. What are you finding thus far?
Well, thus far, we can say that Leukine, which is the human drug and has been shown to be safe over 20 years in typical people, is also safe in people with Alzheimer's disease, which was not a foregone conclusion and definitely needed to be tested. So what we focused on are the drugs that have already been developed for human use. Because if we discover that one of those blocks one of the steps in Alzheimer's disease, then we can move into the clinic very rapidly, as we have done for Leukine.
And so what are the next steps in that trial?
The next steps are to continue to recruit. We've looked at 20 people so far. We have another 20 to go in that short trial. And they are treated 5 days a week for 3 weeks. And we will be able to tell at the end of that trial whether there's any hint of benefit to people with Alzheimer's disease taking Leukine.
In your research, you found connections or similarities between Alzheimer's disease and other illnesses. What are some of those connections, and what are the implications?
So one of the great attractions that brought me to CU Anschutz is that they needed a Alzheimer's center, didn't have one, and they asked me to start one up. And also because the Linda Cernik Institute for Down Syndrome was already here, and a lot of my work over the last 20 years has been studying the relationship between Alzheimer's disease and Down syndrome. So for instance, people with Down syndrome all have an extra copy of chromosome 21, so they have three copies instead of two like the rest of us have. And the main gene for Alzheimer's disease is on chromosome 21. So they make more Alzheimer protein from birth or even conception, and they begin to develop those amyloid deposits in their teenage years. And by the time they're 30 or 40, they have full-blown Alzheimer's disease in the brain. And by the time they're 50 or 60, the majority develop dementia. So that means that these two disorders should, I think, be studied together as two sides of the same coin.
Are there other places around the country where they are being studied together?
In a way, there are people who are studying Down syndrome who collaborate with people who are studying Alzheimer's disease. And just in the last few years, there have been a number of grants given to study Alzheimer's disease and Down syndrome together. but for a long time, they were considered separate.
Do you have strong connections with other centers around the country?
Yes. I started an Alzheimer's center in Florida, and we have good connections there. I know the heads of most of the Alzheimer's centers around the country and many in Europe as well. And that gives us an opportunity to collaborate in case that seems to be necessary. So if there's a reagent or a mouse or something that we need in the laboratory, or even just to exchange ideas, we either go to meetings or we get on the phone or the email and talk to people. And that has become a very important part of our work.
And so the people in the trials, where are they on the spectrum of Alzheimer's disease?
Good question. They're in the mild to moderate stage. We didn't want to take people into the trial who were very far in the stage of extreme Alzheimer's disease because, for instance, if the drug made them worse, we wouldn't know. So for a safety trial, we have to take people right in the middle, see if they get a little bit better, see if they get a little bit worse, or stay the same. And so far, we're very happy that we don't see any detriment to using Leukine.
Is it difficult to recruit people for the clinical trials?
No, it's not, but not everybody qualifies. For instance, if somebody has a pacemaker, then they can't have an MRI scan, and therefore they can't be in the study. So we have to be very careful to take the best candidates and not be confused if something is unexpected.
And how do people feel about being part of the clinical trial?
Oh, they love it. They love it because not only can they potentially actually receive a potentially useful drug, but even more important, they're contributing to potentially the solution to this problem. And everybody who has a diagnosis for Alzheimer's disease or their family members are obviously very concerned about the future, not only for themselves, but for the whole world, since this is a growing problem.
It seems like in your work, you are a scientist, but you're also part of Angelus. Can you talk a little bit about spreading the word about not only your work, but Alzheimer's disease and some of the implications you said for the healthcare system and for society?
Well, we can't do our work if we don't get supported by both government and philanthropy and the university. And it's only fair that the people who support us can understand what we're doing. So I consider it to be extremely important to be able to speak to lay audiences in ways that are accommodating to their knowledge. They're all just as intelligent as we are, but they don't have the vocabulary. So it takes a little bit of practice, but we can explain science to a lay audience, and they deserve that. And I think that that has helped a great deal in getting the word out, not only in the Denver area, but across the country.
And having been to some of your talks before, the audiences are incredibly receptive and incredibly enthusiastic. Do you find that wherever you go?
Yes, not only that, but I feel energized by that kind of support and interest. It allows us to go back into the laboratory and pour clear, colorless fluids of special kinds from one test tube to another for a long time, looking for a potential new finding or a new solution. And people help us by telling us that they support us.
I've seen people, and I think to say they wish you well would be to understate it. They're passionate about the work that you're doing and want you to know just how important it is, even if they have lost a loved one. How does that feel?
Great. Really great, because without feeling that we are going to have an impact on the world, it's much harder to get it and go to the lab every day.
Describe to me the staff and the people you have working in the center.
So we estimate that there are about 45 people in the Anschutz medical community who serve as either clinicians or support staff or scientists in the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center. And they're all important. They all have a different contribution to make. But a team like that is necessary because you've got to have brain imagers, you've got to have clinicians to assess this, the patients, you've got to have scientists developing the new drugs, and you have to have mice and rats in the vivarium who are part of our contributing support staff.
And they work relatively cheap, is the good news about them?
It's not so cheap. No. On a gram-for-gram basis, it costs as much to keep a mouse in our mouse hotel for a year as it does to pay a full professor's salary.
Really? Wow. How can people support your work?
Well, there are several ways. Of course, if they have a ritual called Harry that they can talk to, that's very beneficial. But in fact, they can help in many ways besides that. They can write to their legislator, to the governor, and thank them for their help. They can talk to their congressman and senator and tell them to please continue to support research, not only in Alzheimer's disease, but in other disorders as well. So, for instance, if people hadn't been studying rheumatoid arthritis, we wouldn't have leukine to test. If people hadn't been studying Down syndrome, we wouldn't see our insights in Alzheimer's disease expand because of studying people with Down syndrome. So the scientific community is really a larger community than people may realize, and it's very helpful to have us working together, but that requires support. And finally, they can participate in our clinical studies, both trials and longitudinal studies. That's also tremendously helpful because, again, it's a collaboration between the scientists and the people we want to try to help.
And I would imagine if there are philanthropists out there looking for ways to support your work, we'd help them out with that.
We would, and we also consider them to be collaborators in the sense that we invite them into the laboratory, we tell them everything that we want to do, and they get to choose the kind of project that they would like to support. So, for instance, we have a donor who is particularly interested in vitamin B, and it turns out we've made a very interesting discovery about vitamin B in Alzheimer's disease. We also have donors who are interested in Huntington's disease, which is related in some ways, and then they can support our work on Huntington's disease. So, again, collaboration is the operative word.
If you could impart one thing to people about Alzheimer's disease or your research, what would that be?
I would say hope. We have tried many drugs in the clinic, funded mostly by a pharmaceutical industry. They've largely failed, but we think we know why. And whether it's Leukine or another of the new drugs that are being tested now, I hope reasonable hope, and people should have hope that within, say, 5 years, we should have a treatment. It won't be a cure. It'll be a prevention and a potential treatment, but it'll be a beachhead on this war against Alzheimer's disease.
Well, Dr. Huntington Potter, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for CU on the Air. The University of Colorado comprises four campuses: Boulder, Colorado Springs, Denver, and the CU Anschutz Medical Campus in Aurora. To learn more about CU, go to www.cu.edu. I'm Ken McConalog, and we'll see you on the air next month.
University of Colorado.